Here we go. You are on the radio.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh. They're calling us.
Well, we'll try the next one. You're on... You're on the air.
Hello?
Surprise, surprise. This is the unknown angry caller.
Oh, all right.
Well, have you given you some stuff to be angry about?
Well, Francis, Mrs. Barry, I read in one time newspaper, had a high admiration of the Soviet Union, especially with their so-called constitution.
Well, I don't know about that. I have to tell you this. I've been reading her book, The Pig Farmer's Daughter. And it's basically a collection of upbeat anecdotes that show that the justice system in America has worked to serve the interests of African-American people in America. And it's a very upbeat, positive book that looks at our country, America, as one that has had its bad times but has improved over the years and is improving. And that, that seems to be her belief. I mean, she's a presidential appointee.
I'd like to say that we got it out of the library.
And also...
We did not buy it.
And also, one time her friend Hillary Clinton was in my hometown of New Rochelle. I was going to plan to play a Kiss song called Rock and Roll All Night as an anti-Clinton Giuliani song. Maybe you should play Detroit Rock City in front of her.
Uh-huh. Are you a Patriot Movement guy, or how
no.
would you describe your politics?
No,
you don't like the right.
Wait. I'm a 1776 anarchist.
Okay, good. Thank you, unknown angry caller. Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll go to next call.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's the first. We start off the angry callers. And you're on the air. Let them talk.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah. Let me say something that's troubling me here.
Okay.
Okay. I heard Mary Barry talking twice today.
Oh, good.
Listening very carefully. And just to begin my point, painfully speaking, at least on surface, she made a very charming and skilled performance. And the thing is...
The Mary experience.
Hmm?
The Mary Frances Berry experience, where everything sounds pretty and...
Yeah. Now, what I'm saying is, you did have BAI listeners, you did have BAI broadcasters, and the questions that were asked were very amorphous. A lot of this stuff that you're talking about was at best mildly suggested, not seriously spelled out to the listeners by BAI broadcasters. I don't know why. I'm just opening it up. Everybody was, now they wanted to give her a chance. I could understand that she was there, but tough questions were not asked and things weren't being spelled out. The second thing is, they're going through all this, all these, supposed terrible things, arresting people, heavy, very heavy actions against staff people that normally, unless you got something very heavy in mind, you wouldn't be likely to do, even from a public relations standpoint, would be counterproductive. So the agenda here must be very serious, and what I'm saying also seems to me that on BAI and whatever, something is not being clearly articulated in terms of what these people particularly want to do with the station. They say they don't want to sell it. They do keep saying, though, that they want to change it, that the audience is small. And we're not getting a very clear idea on the surface. There's a lot of double talk about a new vision, growing, expanding the audience, this, that, and the other thing.
I can say this.
That's
no
not
matter...
being spelled out, and no one... And to finish right here, and then go ahead. Even on BAI, in order to inform the listeners and whatever, nobody is asking hard questions, by and large, about what this means and what this agenda is.
I don't think people understand. It's a good point, Carr. I don't think people really fully understand the seriousness of this situation, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
It's often quoted that the value on the open market of KPFA, I've heard the number 65 to 75 million. I've heard the number for WBAI up to $125-150 million, and that they're constantly being pressured and asked by buyers in order to sell. But I think the story has been left half told because this is an era of privatization and that there is tremendous, tremendous pressure from the federal government down to privatize these large institutions like Pacifica that have a tremendous value in product and that it's extremely disingenuous for Mary Frances Berry to say we're not seriously discussing selling the stations when the reality of the situation is the pressure from the federal government is to sell the stations. And the federal government is pressuring us to sell these stations. They're pressuring everybody to sell.
The only question I would ask you, and you're making...
This is the reality of the world.
You're saying something very... Let me ask you one question. It's a heavy one and a painful one. Amy Goodman, Bernard White, Utrecht Lead, all these people are very sophisticated, very informed people. And what I'm wondering then, why aren't they bringing stuff like this to the surface really very strongly? Because it would stand to reason that they know that.
They're taking what Mary Frances Berry says at face value.
How come?
Because nobody's really been able to prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that she's a liar.
Well, why not ask tough questions anyway?
You know, because she's their boss, I guess. I can't speak for, you know what, I can't really speak for other people.
You feel she's lying? Or these,
I feel she's lying.
In other words,
I feel she's lying.
Well, let's ask Khalil. We have a guest
here. Yeah, what do you think, Khalil?
I think that it goes beyond, like, thinking of something. I mean, a lot of us have seen the email that Michael Palmer wrote. Right, that states very, very clearly and specifically in writing.
But she says, oh, that's only one person who said that, who has a right to freedom of speech, but nobody takes
it
seriously.
But
I'm saying that that's beyond, first of all, it's beyond, like, the federal government is obviously pressuring, but you also have corporate interests, right?
Right.
That are also a part of that.
Right.
And then you also have a contract, like, what, the reason why we're back in our station, they said, okay, we'll allow you to be back in the station, no gag rule, blah, 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 for 6 months. And at that time, we will consider where you're at. And the idea of the sell of the station is not out of the picture.
Let me ask you a question.
So it's critical to realize that the sell of the station was discussed by the board members on a national phone call. The board, the sell of the station has been talked about. It still is a possibility. And they haven't come out with anything in writing saying, look, this is not going to happen.
Is there some danger that they could gut the station seriously even if they don't sell it?
Well,
we've seen what they've done already.
How much have they spent?
Can they shift the station into a kind of an NPR sound and decide not to sell it, but keep it that way and make it like that?
The people at the local level, I think they're at WBAI for my short time there, as well as here, are not willing or to allow that to happen.
Then so what's the danger?
The danger is, like, what we experience. It's sad because a lot of people have a tendency to only be able to act in crisis situations.
Yeah.
You know, so people right now in New York may feel, oh, that's not a reality.
In fact,
she was just on the air talking so nicely.
I know people.
The things she had to say is so eloquent.
I know people at BAI, people I won't mention, that have been broadcast to see us who are friends of mine because I know people at the station. A number of people said to me, well, what's the big worry? We've won.
Right.
People, that is the kind, people who are very aware and very sophisticated said, look, don't get that alarmed. The people are back. What's all the excitement?
Let me make this devil's advocate statement then. If we have won, if Mary Frances Berry is coming out and offering us the olive branch of peace, as she's trying to make out was what happened, and maybe the fact that she appeared on our air at all and answered questions at all is a tremendous victory in that, you know, she's a very imperious person, obviously a person who is a presidential appointee all her adult life almost, and as such, brooks no disrespect from anybody because she's, of course, a presidential appointee.
And she's been a social activist in some heavy way.
Right, and she's obviously somebody who snaps her fingers and things get done in her world.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, she's facing people who have the nerve to stand up to a presidential appointee and say we could care less.
Yeah.
And that is something that her first reaction might have been, nobody does that to me.
Like shock.
You know, shock, and also the fact that, you know, I'm sure she's going around as a presidential appointee, and if she's, quote, if what's accurate, these threats she says she's getting are accurate, then she probably has Secret Service protection.
Yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah.
That she's,
and I think that's something that's also really hard for her to deal with.
Well,
is the reality that there are a serious number of people of color, of young people. Like, her claim is that this is a community of people that's homogeneous, they're older white folks, and we need to expand that.
One more thing, let me ask both you guys a question. What do you think, as speculation, because we can't know, what do you think they want to do with BAI and KPFA? What's the strategic plan?
I think that story in the New York Times last week, there was a former board member of BAI from the 60s wrote a letter or wrote an article.
I read it.
An op-ed was in the New York Times where he said cash in the BAI and KPFA used the money to buy a network of small college-sized stations. And
you think they want to do that?
Well, you know,
And can we prove it?
No, we can't prove it. And, you know, we get into this world of speculation and – off the air, I speculate a lot about this stuff, but I feel a little nervous speculating.
You don't want to do it on, and how the heck you see the thing?
You know, I mean,
I think that the critical thing is that in order to go there and to speculate and to think about what are they doing, you have to look at their actions. And their actions and what they've done at KPFA is very, very, very clear. That they took over our station. They kicked out the employees, they kicked out the union, they kicked out the community, they took it over, had installed an ISDN line in the transmitter, which enables them to get programmed from remote studios all the way from Texas, and used it as a tool for propaganda.
Now,
whenever Mary Frances Berry wanted to, she would put her statements on the air.
And the case they're making is okay, they're making is hurt her. Not they. She's on the air, and I got to hear her publicly several times. She said, well, look, we have a right to dump a station manager. We run the thing. People can't occupy a building and make a lot of noise. For years, people haven't had a right to speak out against things like that. And B, station's got 146,000 listeners. It's stagnating. It isn't working out that well. We got to come in and do a job, and all these people are simply protecting themselves against necessary and useful change and doing it in a way that's irresponsible and maybe illegal to boot. So what's the complaint?
I think that the issue is that she tries to come off, number one, as though the issue is not a serious one, or that it's a minority, or that there's one person behind it.
Right.
And being a part of a protest that happened on July 31st, that had 15,000 people at it. I mean, she has not been out here, and I think that there's reason why she has not come out here and publicly made statements. Or, I mean, she's so concerned about it, how come she hasn't been on the air at KPFA? How come she hasn't come out and talked to the local advisory board?
I guess the only point I'm making, and the main point I'm making, and I say this to close it and let the conversation go on, is except for the late night programming, by and large, on DAI. Particular where I'm listening, this is being handled, and I say this advisedly, with a certain degree of kid gloves. It's not, whether it's right or wrong, it's not being spelled out. It's being dealt with amorphously. You have highly formatted press conferences. There isn't really an intense dialogue and scrutiny here, and a presentation coherently is just the kind of stuff that's being said here tonight.
And, you know, let's leave it at that, because I don't know the reasons, but I can say that your observations seem accurate.
That's what I hear. I don't know the reasons.
And I don't know the reasons.
And we got
either.
A lot more calls,
okay.
So thanks for calling him.
Right.
Yeah.
212-209-2900. This is Let Him Talk. I'm Paul D'Arienzo with Miss Joan Marie Moosey here on Pacifica Station WBAI in New York. Khalil Jacobs Fantuzzi, who is a member of the local advisory board of our sister station, KPFA in Berkeley, California, is with us as a guest, someone who was arrested and hogtied protesting the seizure of KPFA, and it's being closed down for almost a month before it was reopened under public pressure. We have a lot of phone calls, and you're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, how you doing, all?
Good.
This is Monroe, and
oh,
I'm just
Monroe.
Identifying myself, and I want to hear everybody, but I'll be fast.
Okay.
One, I couldn't call in. I got on, and they, buzzing
they
into
didn't
the
get
station,
to you.
But they got dropped. I was on an outside the street phone. So the thing is, I couldn't say my piece to write directly. The thing about that she said she'd get back to us in a month, and she never got back to us about the unpaid volunteer broadcasters and other workers at WBAI. And they have a thing now with the National Labor Relations Board. They had it, and then they appealed when the National Labor Relations Board says perfectly all right for workers at WBAI to be in the union. Now, the point is that maybe it started before Mary Frances Berry, but she certainly should have been up. And she said at a meeting at 505 8th Avenue before you moved down to 120 Wall Street, she said that she didn't know about it until she was at the meeting, and then she said, I need a month to think about it. Well, I think she could have thought about it in an instant, but we were ready to give her a month, but she never got back to us, and the thing is still wide open.
What do you think is going on here? What's this all about?
I smell a rat.
You think she has credibility problems?
Now, let me just finish. Bernard White was on taking the phone calls today. And, you know, she kept talking about diversity and ethnicity and all these different things. Well, Bernard White runs the program 4 days a week, Morning Call. And that's a wonderful program where they explore all kinds of things from paint, lead paint, to people who have been imprisoned improperly, to the Mamir situation, to Amy Goodman coming and talking about East Timor. She was over there. She's over there now and not allowed in. The WBAI is reaching out all over the place. It's true that they could do more, but the incinerator on 145th Street, whatever right. street it is.
Well,
there are a million things that WBAI is doing.
You're making a good point, Monroe.
It's hard to talk like she does, that this station isn't alive and with it. It's hard to believe.
I don't think she's saying that. I think that what Bernard has said to me, and I think what she was saying, is that the questions of diversity are not really a question at BAI. I mean, Samori Marksman did a good job, and I think a lot of people trash Samori for a lot of reasons, but I think he did a good job.
He did
work that put us on a firmer financial footing, and that did the work, the diversity work that was necessary here at WBAI, that has insulated us to some degree from the problems that are happening at KPFA. And let me put that question to our guest. What about these questions of diversity, of being over 50 white guys at KPFA?
I think that it's a straight-up lie. When I went out there to speak with her at the Pacifica Board out in Washington, D.C., I went with a fellow person who's on the local advisory board, Jay Imani, who was an African-American person. I went with Tina and Jorge from the Bay Area that are community activists. We went as a collective, a group of people, a delegation from the Bay Area. And that's the first thing that we jumped on. First of all, she was taken back. She didn't expect us to be there. So she thought that we, like, she questioned if we belonged there, or she questioned why we were working with KPFA or what we did for KPFA. Or, like, the reality is that, number one, she has not come out here to see what's going on and who's at the station. Number two, they fired a woman of color who was a general manager, talking about the need for diversity. Number three, it's critical to look at the programming of Pacifica. If there is a lack across the network of young people shows, of utilizing hip-hop as a tool for social consciousness, of diversity in terms of ethnic diversity, then how come Pacifica does not have a show that is dedicated to that?
I like to say that one of the best calls this evening when Mary Frances Berry joined us on here on WBAI was from our good friend Bertha.
Kudos to Bertha.
Bertha, who calls almost every night, and I'm extending her call tonight, who I've known for many years on the Lower East Side and is a dedicated activist on the Lower East Side for the Gardens and the People's Gardens, which are under assault here in New York.
That's another program,
and,
right?
And she advocated that mental health consumers. She did it so beautifully. I mean, the way she presented it, you're for diversity, Mary Frances Berry. I asked Samori Marksman before he died if he could put on a program by experts about all the people who have problems getting their mental health consumers, their mental health services consumers, how come they are not getting a show, and how come they don't have a show? And I thought that was an interesting question. And you know what? Mary Frances Berry, I don't know. I wasn't there in the studio at the time, but I got the impression she was squinting her eyes in the direction of Bernard and saying, what's going on? How come you're not listening to this very serious program? And I had a little bit of respect for her there. I'll tell you, I had a little bit of respect for her, too, when somebody said, they called in and they said they hadn't heard a report to the listener for months and months and months. And there was absolute total silence.
Right, but listen to this.
As if a certain person responsible for a certain report to the listener wasn't sitting right there watching everything that was going on 3 feet away.
But also, I can't respect the reality that when we went out there and hit her up on the issue that Pacifica lacks diversity, Pacifica lacks programming that is dedicated to young people or getting a new audience using hip-hop. She said that you know, she would be willing to work on a grant, or she thinks that that's an important thing. And then she refused to get in touch with us when we called up and when we tried to follow up. So it's like she'll say something that sounds pretty. She'll address the issue. She pretends that she's concerned that certain shows are not on the air. But just like what the people have been calling in saying that she was supposed to come back in a month, there's a lack of continuous coming back and support, follow
through. You better watch out for Bertha.
Let me make one last point.
Bertha isn't going to forget.
Let me make one last point, people. Clayton Riley accused me of racism the other day because of the fact that I pointed out this appointment that she never kept. Now, here's the story. She said that she...
I thought that was an unfair attack on you, Monroe.
Yeah, right.
I listened to that, some of that. It was an unfair attack. It's an unfair attack, and it's part of the horrible this name-calling thing that's happening, you know, a little bit on both sides, and that might be alienating to the listeners who don't know.
I was at the meeting. It's not hearsay. But listen to this. Listen to this. Clayton Riley is saying, well, when she comes to a meeting with the staff, we'll get to know. They had the meeting with the staff. And the thing is, they didn't tell anybody because they didn't know when she was coming.
Oh, the other day.
Yesterday.
I mean, how the apparently
it was
three people.
You know what, Robert Knight?
Four people.
Robert Knight had a word for it. He called it a stealth staff meeting.
That's right. What can you believe?
There you go.
She's going to talk to the staff. It could go over the air. Everybody come to the station. Oh, she's coming like the Messiah.
I guess they didn't want to do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, well, thanks for letting me play a part.
Right on. Thanks
Monroe,
for calling.
You're always welcome, Monroe. And I have to say that that's an interesting point that Monroe was making. I mean, we had this stealth staff meeting. You might not know about this, but yesterday she was actually in town. Today she joined us by ISDN, Mary Frances Berry from Washington, to take the call. So yesterday she was actually attended the station and was on the air with Utrice Lead, who has been very critical and wanted to ask her some questions. And
who I thought was really great.
Right.
She did good.
I guess earlier that afternoon there was a staff meeting that nobody knew about unless they happened to be at that moment
in the station.
In the station when she showed up. And that was the big meeting with the staff. And you have to realize our local advisory board has voted for the resignation of Mary Frances Berry and Lynn Chadwick. People should understand that. We have voted for that and called for their resignation. So that's why they're coming to New York. Okay, you're on the radio.
Hello?
Yeah, just a few quick comments and a question. I mean, it sounds to me that she has a very imperious approach to the whole thing, and that arouses suspicion immediately. You know, I'm saying.
Yeah, do you find that offensive?
Well, no, I'm saying these peremptory stealth meetings and showing up, and this arouses suspicion right away in terms of motive. I mean, you know,
it doesn't inspire confidence.
Precisely. The thing that I wanted to ask your guest, though, is that. And then I want to make a comment if this is true. Right now at Berkeley, are there no live staff members there, and are they just getting various feeds from Houston and NPR programs and things like that?
No, we are back in the station. We are controlling the entire thing as volunteers, as staff, as people who have had programs on the air. We're in control again.
But
there's the fear that whenever they choose to, because they did install this ISDN line into our transmitter on our first day of mediation and communication with them, that at any point given in the future that they feel that programming is not appropriate, or if they want to just take it over and want to have a Mary Frances Berry press conference for 2 hours and not allow us to call in, that they can do that. That's the reality.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers my question, and then I want to make the comment following that up. When, because I had an experience myself with this, I did have a talk show on a station up in Middletown, New York, Wurzburg, called, and it was on WZAD, and it was actually a rather free-form situation, even though it had some commercials. It was a strange little station that reached three counties. And when they wanted to sell it, and they did, what happened was is that it was bought by someone else who just put, a satellite feed on to keep the station live, and then it was sold. So the strategy here is that what you should know is that when they're piping in stuff, a station is worth more money when it's live as opposed to when it's unlit and off the air. That's just my quick comment, by the way. That's right. A marketing strategy when they're messing around with stations and they want to move them. Mm-hmm. But that's all. I mean, this might be a peripheral comment, but I my main question was that I did want to hear whether you guys got back into the station, and that's good. But you must be really on eggshells right now.
That's right, and thank you for the information. I think that it's important for people to realize that the amount of publicity that's been around this, the fact that there's been, you know, reporters across the country reporting about the issue, and that, I mean, it definitely does something in terms of the value of the station.
Yeah, the whole thing.
And the amount of listeners. So I think that if they were to, like, to see how many listeners are listening now, I think there'd be a significant difference.
Yeah, well, this would be true. So I thank you, and I'll let somebody else get on. And,
Thank you very much for your call.
You bet you, sir.
Good night.
By the way, I'm going to just take a moment for the benefit of Let Him Talk, and this is probably a good moment in the middle of all this, to ask all our fans out there, this is the time. We need your letters and your comments that you like this show or that you hate this show, but however you feel about Let Him Talk, now's the time to flood the letters. We want to know. And how you can let us know, if you want to, you know, help Let Him Talk really become more established and grow as a program and as a concept, our address is Let 'Em Talk, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And what we need are letters, just brief, single-page letters, notes, scribbles, type, doesn't matter, saying how much you like this show or how much it serves your needs or how much this show has enlightened or educated or helped you in your day-to-day lives. So our address is 120 Wall Street, care Let 'Em Talk, 120 care of WBAI, Let 'Em Talk, care WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And you can also send your comments by email, and there our email address is pdr@echonyc.com, pdr@echonyc.com, or Miss Moosey, MISSMOOSSY, @yahoo.com. And also you can visit us at our webpage, pdr.autano.net, pdr.autano.net. And this is Let 'Em Talk on Pacifica's station WBAI in New York. I'm Paul DiRienzo with Miss Joan Marie Moosey. And our guest is Khalil Jacobs Fantuzzi, who's a member of the local advisory board of our sister station in Berkeley, California, KPFA. And we're discussing the leadership and governance of Pacifica. And our number is 212-209-2900.
Khalil, the board is lit up, huh?
Well, I'm happy that people are calling in, and I'm happy that you're having alternative viewpoints. And I think that it's critical that people understand that we don't expect them just to choose one side without thinking. This is a situation that involves people to do some research. They could check out the www.savepacifica.net that has archives of the history. We want people to become informed. We want people to become informed so that if this issue becomes something which becomes crisis and people are ready to do some action in New York, that they have a history of understanding what's going on. And that something doesn't come and blindside people, where people are not expecting something and something seriously happens.
So that's www.savepacifica.net.
So it's very important. I appreciate you having me on the show.
Okay, right. Thank you, Khalil.
And
okay,
caller, you're on the air.
You're on the air, yeah.
Hello?
I'd like to... I'm sorry he went off, but I'll say what I have to say anyway.
Go ahead.
this is addressed to all these white men. It's terrible with that. They're so dumb, most of them. The only way they get a job is that their father or somebody give it to them. And I'd like to know, why is it it bothers them so when a black person is the head of anything? It just tears them apart. Whether they know how to do it, they killed Tamori Marksman with their greed and their hatred and their lies. And as for Monroe, he talks about everything. Why don't he speak about the ambassador over there in, he knows everything. He talks about everything. He judges it. One minute he's calling Bernard White a nigger, then the next minute, oh, he loves him so.
I haven't heard that. I think that's...
You know that he and Bernard told
I've never heard that word used in such a way on this air.
He asked Bernard, he told...
Ever.
Bernard had to tell him not to call there anymore.